There are things that we experience but never talk about. A shadow moving in a corner. Flickering of the lights. A disembodied voice. We invite you to talk with us. Share your story. Share your evidence. Because this isn't just your story. This is our story. This is Ghost Box Radio.
This is Ghost Box Radio on AM 950, where every week we talk about the paranormal, ufology, Bigfoot, or just the unusual. My name is Greg Bakken, and thank you for joining me today. We're going to get to it right away. I think of my Minnesota listeners, but this applies to anybody listening who have seen locations of historical significance get torn down or changed, and it leaves you with a loss. You wonder, how did it come to this? How did this happen? In Minnesota, I could think about like the Metropolitan Building or Nye's. They're gone. How did we let this happen? We're going to talk about a situation that can still be reversible in Louisville, Kentucky. Denise and Ernie Pack are noted paranormal investigators from the team Pac-Man Paranormal. They had worked at Waverly Hills Sanatorium, but things have changed there. We're going to talk about that, but also we'll be talking about their campaign to save the location, which you can sign a petition and donate at savewaverlyhills.com. Denise and Ernie, welcome to Ghost Box Radio.
Thank you, Greg, for having us.
Thank you very much. And I would like to invite all of our listeners to join into the conversation. To do so, call in to ask a question to Denise and Ernie live on the air. You can call 952-946-6205. That's 952-946-6205. Or email us a comment or question. Email address for the station is comment@am950radio.com. We are live on AM 950 Radio, but also streaming video on the following Facebook pages, AM 950, Things Network, Paranormal United Network, and MN Ghost Box. Feel free to leave comments there for Denise, Ernie, or myself, and we'll get to them. First of all, I just got to say to both of you, happy anniversary.
Thank you. It's been a long year, Greg.
I was going to say, how long has it been? It's been a year, and I was going to say to Denise, you couldn't answer with too long, because that's not a number. You can't answer like with too long. Huh? So
it's been like a couple years and dog years.
Yeah, no, and it doesn't get any shorter, does it? I mean, it's going to be – it's like elastic. It just keeps stretching. You know, the time loop will keep stretching for you both. And I saw that you all had a really nice meal last night, a little day to yourselves. That seemed kind of nice.
Yeah, we took a break from all of the paranormal talk, all of the Waverly Hills talk, everything, just to spend time together and relax and unplug from social media for a change. And
we actually tried to come up with something really nice to do, and the more we thought about what was nice to us was just going and getting some good food and then coming back and taking a nap.
No, that sounds amazing. Where did you go? I saw the pictures. It looked like there's a giant bat, upside down bat outside the front of the building. What was that?
That is Caulfield's novelty store here in Louisville, Kentucky. It's a Halloween supply store. They supply masks and props and things like that for different haunted houses, or just, you know, the individual that's into the Halloween stuff. And, you know, it's always Halloween around our house.
Right.
So, you know, we went in there, looked around, and just looked at some older buildings around town and just kind of relaxed.
Yeah, we ate at a place called the Red Yeti. We found that because we were trying to find something different to eat a few months ago, and we do a lot of Bigfoot stuff too. And when I saw a restaurant called the Red Yeti, I was like, "Oh, we gotta have to try that out." And We go there every chance we get now.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's a little pricey, so
if
we don't
you're ever in the area,
out.
We got to take you there. Greg.
Okay, well, I'll be there this week. Okay, let's. We got. All right, we got that taken care. Yep, that's all taken care of. All right. Now, as you all may be able to tell, we've known each other. We joke back and forth, but you know what we're going to talk about today is actually pretty serious, and we want to make sure that this is given the respect that it needs and deserves. And so we're going to be talking about Waverly Hills in Louisville, Kentucky. You may have seen Waverly Hills on a number of the paranormal shows. There's a lot of background to this place. And what I'd like to do, Ernie, if it's all right, I'd like to just start for, especially for my listeners in Minnesota who may not be as familiar as we are in all the paranormal circles. What is Waverly Hills?
Okay, Waverly Hills, the building that's there today, the one that's famous that everyone has seen on the TV shows and the photographs of and everything with the gargoyles and the bell tower and all of that, that building was built in, it opened in 1926 during the tuberculosis epidemic. It was at the time the state-of-the-art facility in the country, if not the world, for combating tuberculosis. Thousands of people died there.
Yeah.
Thousands more recovered and are, you know, their descendants are alive today because of that building. And it existed until, as Waverly Hills, until 1961, when the disease had basically been eradicated. And it closed, reopened a year later as Woodhaven Geriatric Center, which became a place like a lot of former tuberculosis hospitals and institutions of the time. It became basically a dumping ground for anyone unwanted by society. And people were housed there for something as simple as a stuttering problem.
Okay.
One of the main things that we correct all the time is it is sanatorium, not sanitarium, although at one point it did kind of become a sanitarium, but it was originally for tuberculosis.
Okay. Yes. Okay.
And then the building closed in 1981, right at the beginning of end of 1980, beginning of 1981, before they got all the patients out of there. It was shut down by the state because they were abusing and neglecting patients, and they were stripped of their state funding. So they were forced to close, and then the building sat abandoned, went through several different owners over the next 20 years, until Charlie Mattingly purchased it in 2001. It was a place that was unheard of in the paranormal community. It was just a forgotten building over those 20 years prior to Charlie buying it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he started cleaning it up, he realized that it was active with paranormal activity. And he started bringing in people. And eventually it wound up on World's Scariest Places, Ghost Hunters, Ghost Adventures, Paranormal Lockdown, Most Haunted. Every TV show out there in the paranormal basically has visited Waverly Hills.
Yep.
It's become an iconic location, one of, if not the most well-known locations in the world. A lot of people say it might be the most haunted location in the world, and I would not argue with that, having spent as much time there as I have.
And you both have spent a lot of time there.
Oh, yes. We practically lived there this past summer.
Yeah, basically 7 days a week, mm-hmm. 12, 14 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
We were there hosting tours and investigations and the like.
Mm-hmm.
And I had been a lead for the investigations a number of times over the years, different stints. You know, I'd work for a year or two and then be gone, and then work for a year or two and be gone. But we're very familiar with it. We spent a lot of time there alone and got a very close attachment to the building as a whole and the spirits that are there. One in particular is the reason why we had our wedding anniversary yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
She brought us together, and we've told you a little bit about that story in the past, but that's a whole other topic. That's a whole other show.
And so, because we're gonna get to a little bit about why we're on here talking about saving Waverly Hills. But first of all, it's, you know, listed as a lot of people say it's one of the most haunted places around, and that doesn't mean scary though, right? I mean, that's kind of the point I kind of want to get to, because it kind of ties into your two story.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay. There have been a number of things said about Waverly Hills over the years that are exaggerations and overblown.
Yep.
There was a documentary done several years ago. I won't name it, but they talked about 63,000 deaths occurring there.
Yep. They talked about a draining room that
they
never existed.
They talked about a draining room where bodies were hung upside down and gutted like deer and drained of all their fluids and things like that. And a lot of those kinds of things wound up being part of Waverly's history. You know, it just got adapted as part of the history of Waverly.
Yep, just kind of and, the lies. Yep, yep.
Yeah, it took on a life of its own, and it was not true. And, you know, one of the things that I've always tried to stress about Waverly Hills is it was not a horrific place. It was, you know, for these people, a lot of them, you know, the place opened in 1926. This is during the Great Depression. People were having a hard time feeding their families and eating and having a roof over their head. Well, Waverly Hills was a very luxurious place to go where you had meals, you had social activities,
yep.
You were treated very well.
With the social activity aspect, one thing I want to point out is it was brought to our attention a few times. People thought that we were being disrespectful because of the haunted house, but in actuality, one of the first events that they held at Waverly Hills was a two-day masquerade party. They opened, they brought their first patients in October 20th of 1926, and that was their first major event. So basically, we've been carrying on a 100-year tradition.
So why don't we do this, Ernie, before we go any further, because we're coming up to our break. Let's take our first break. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with paranormal investigators Denise and Ernie Pack, talking about SaveWaverlyHills.com. We're going to talk about what that means in our next segment. You're listening to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950. And welcome back to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950. My name is Greg Bach, and thank you very much for joining us today. Our guests today are Denise and Ernie Pack of Pac-Man Paranormal as we talk about saving Waverly Hills. You can sign a petition or donate at SaveWaverlyHills.com. You know, the last segment, Denise and Ernie, we talked about, and I know I cut you guys off a little bit on this, about kind of this place isn't as scary as people think it is. It's haunted, and that's always the difference between, you know, haunted and scary. I want to talk, and this is a short segment, so we might go into the next segment also. I want to talk about what's going on there now, why we want to talk about Save Waverly Hills, and explain to people why it's important to take a couple minutes to sign a petition at SaveWaverlyHills.com and hopefully even donate a little bit. So, Ernie, what's going on there?
Okay. As I mentioned, the building was bought in 2001 by Charlie Mattingly. He and his wife, Tina, spent a couple of years doing nothing but going up there every day from sunup until sundown and beyond, cleaning and trying to make the building safe for tours and investigations and the like. And before you know it, Waverly Hills became this bucket list iconic location we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all because of the work that they put in. That was their investment, their life, their retirement package, their legacy to their grandkids, everything. They own the building outright. Well, they started a nonprofit organization to run the business of the building, and they called that the Waverly Hills Historical Society.
Now, this is not a government entity, and I think it's very important people realize that, because when they start thinking it's a government entity, then that puts a whole other different aspect to it. But this is a nonprofit that was created by Charlie and Tina.
Okay.
Yes. And Charlie put people on that board that he thought he could trust, and that he thought would, you know, do the right thing. And they had a good working relationship, by all accounts, right up until the last couple of years here.
Mm-hmm.
What happened in recent years is the board became infiltrated with a core little clique of individuals that were all very close friends of one another, that had worked together outside of Waverly, They had family members and friends that they would bring in every time there was an opening on the board. Waverly Hills being as popular as it is, it brings in a lot of money. And it's over the years, Charlie has put all of that money into windows, restoration, roof work, things that were needed to preserve that building.
Mm-hmm.
Building a parking lot, roads, access, restoring the bunkhouse or the pump house and turning it into a bunkhouse that could be rented. Well, in 2019, Tina, who was the executive director of the board, she didn't actually have a position on the board, but she was the executive director of the board. She got really sick, had some serious health issues. Charlie was going through some issues. And she had to kind of step away from the daily activities of Waverly. And that little core clique got a little bit stronger, felt a little bit more emboldened and empowered
Yep.
by the fact that she wasn't around. And just over a year ago, they voted Tina out as executive director. Tina and Charlie lived in an apartment there on the property that Charlie had built.
I was going to say, and they're the owners.
Yes. They own the building. They still own the building. It's theirs.
Yeah.
And this
but she's
place,
out.
This, yeah.
Okay.
They vote her out, and they tell them they have to leave the property. They didn't get any court document that said they had to leave the property. Their attorneys just threatened them with prosecution if they didn't leave the property.
Now, at the time, they were ill. They were fighting some serious illnesses. They didn't know, you know, this took them by surprise. They weren't prepared for it. They didn't have legal counsel, and they weren't making any money off of the building. The only salary that they had coming in was what Tina was making as her position that they just stripped her of, because all of Charlie's retirement and everything was in this building, everything he got, he put right back into the building.
Okay.
So they did not have the means to go out and get a lawyer, and they did what they thought they needed to do, so they left. And this was during COVID as well.
Okay.
They threw them out of their apartment during COVID.
So fast forward a couple of months, and Charlie is sent a lawsuit where the Waverly Hills Historical Society, and I really hate giving them the honor of calling them that, is suing Charlie. They have a lawsuit that's 156 counts, at least. That's what it was the last time I counted anyway, against Charlie of claims of damages. Because of the work that Charlie was doing to save the building and make it accessible. Like the road that he put in, they say, is done with poor workmanship, and they're going to have to tear it up and redo it, and Charlie's going to have to pay them to do that.
They tried to say the windows that he put in to try to keep the weather out was not historically accurate, and now they have to pull those out and put in historically accurate windows. Now, the problem with that is Charlie never took any government funds. He didn't have to do anything historically accurate. It's not like they, like I said, they weren't a government entity. He was doing what he needed to do to preserve the building the best he could with the funds he was making, not taking anything from the taxpayers.
And no one's going to look at the windows who are investigating and be like, what's up with this? This is historically inaccurate.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, this group is trying to seek government funding. They realize that the building is eligible for lots of it. And if you know how a 501c3 works with grant money, depending on what class of grant money they get, they are able to convert up to at least 40% of that to salaries for their board members.
Hmm.
So if they get a $20 million grant, which the building is eligible for up to $20 million in grants from what we understand, 40% of that, that's almost $10 million they can stick in their own pockets over time. And nobody can say anything about it. These are just greedy people.
Because that's just how it works now. That's just what would happen.
We happen to know that most of their board members now are making six-figure salaries off of this nonprofit.
Yeah. Holy.
And this nonprofit filed taxes on over $4 million in assets. While the building still needs windows, still has a leaky roof, I can tell you we were up there from early February of last year up until the end of July. And not a single, I would swear on the Bible this, not a single thing was done to improve, restore, or maintain the building itself.
Okay.
They mowed the grass. That was it.
That was it. Okay. Why don't we do this? Because this seems like a good stopping point for our next break. What we'll do when we come back, let's talk about how we can help Waverly Hills. And if Ernie and Denise want to say more about what's going on in place, we'll have that in there also. But I want to make sure that we get to the action of what we can do to help. You are listening to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950. I am a featured guest at this year's Council Room Convention in Bloomington, Minnesota that runs January 21st through 23rd. That's next weekend, folks. Council Room is a local Doctor Who convention in its ninth year. I'll be there doing talks on both the paranormal and British television. It's going to be a great time with other very talented featured guests there also. It's coming up quickly, so get your tickets at council-room.com. And I hope to see you there. Also, don't forget that Sunday nights at 10 p.m. Central Standard Time, which is tonight, on the Facebook pages Things Network, Paranormal United Network, and Minnesota Ghost Box, I do a live Spirit Box session. This is an opportunity to not only see some paranormal gear at work, but the possibility to reach out to your loved ones who have passed. This is a very positive program, and I hope you join us tonight to reach out to some spirits. You never know what we're going to get. Honestly, it's different every single time. Also, if you miss Ghostbox Radio with Greg Bockett live, AM 950 replays these episodes Saturday nights at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, or you can listen anytime by going to Spotify or iTunes. After listening at these locations, please leave a positive review for my show. That would help me out very, very greatly. Our guests today are Denise and Ernie Pack of Pac-Man Paranormal. As we talk about saving Waverly Hills, you can sign a petition or donate at SaveWaverlyHills.com. I keep saying that, folks, but we haven't actually really talked about what that is, and I'd like to do that now because we know that there is something not right going on with the current situation. What is Save Waverly Hills?
Save Waverly Hills is the website that we have recently started to raise funds for Charlie and Tina's legal defense in this lawsuit filed against them by the greedy people trying to steal the building from them. That's the bottom line there. We have some merchandise on there. We've got shirts that you'll only find there. They're Waverly Hills one-of-a-kind limited edition shirts. Glow-in-the-dark, they're really cool shirts. We've got just got a shipment of pins in that are being added to the website. We've got tumblers on the way. We've got a couple of other T-shirt designs that are going to be offered very soon. Just waiting for the screen printer to get those produced and out there where we can put them in the store. We've also got an event coming up with Brandon Alvis and Mustafa Gadalari from A&E's Ghost Hunters.
Mm-hmm.
They are the authors of the number one selling paranormal book out there right now, Elements of a Haunted.
Yep.
They've agreed to be the headliners at an investigation and meet and greet and dinner at the Old Stone Jail in Franklin, Kentucky, free of charge. They're not charging us anything for their appearance. And if you know how paranormal celebrity businesses work, they typically will get an appearance fee for doing anything. Well, Brandon and Mustafa have agreed to do this for free. And we can't thank them enough for that. We're selling tickets. You can find those on the website. There's also a link to a GoFundMe where all of the money raised either through the GoFundMe, the event tickets, or the merchandise that we have on the site, all of that money goes directly to Charlie's legal defense. He had like Denise said earlier, Antina had nothing. They had no big nest egg built up. Waverly Hills was their retirement, their nest egg, and everything they had. And without it, he's got nothing to fight this lawsuit.
Yeah, one of the things that the Historical Society did to them when they started this was what little bit of things that Charlie had acquired over the year, like property around Waverly Hills and vehicles and anything along those lines, they put liens on, even though they didn't have any legal reason to. They stated that Charlie owed them money. They've yet to be able to prove that. And because of that, they put liens on everything that he had so he could not sell anything to get money to fight them.
They've done everything they can to back him into a corner to where he, you know, has no alternative but to just sign the building over to him.
And they actually told him at one point, if you just sign the building over to us, we'll make this lawsuit go away.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I think about, you know, because I, you know, this show is based in Minnesota. There's a large Minnesota listener base and a large paranormal base outside of Minnesota listening. And the paranormal base, a lot of them really know what this is. The Minnesota base may or may not. And this is where I really want to you know, please ask our listeners in Minnesota and everywhere, but, you know, for those who are uninterested and, you know, think, oh, well, that's out there, that's not Minnesota, think about places like the Palmer House, think about places like the Calumet Inn, think about, you know, the Wabasha Caves, you know, all these places in Minnesota that are haunted, that mean a lot to a lot of people. And what if something was happening to these places that, you know, the owners, you know, the people who have made this a great experience for you for the past, you know, 15, 20, 30 years, and that they're in trouble. This is the same sort of thing. And what we're asking people to do is think not about territory, but think about likeness and think about the fact that this could happen anywhere. This could be a problem anywhere. And that if you can go to savewaverlyhills.com, take a look, throw a few bucks towards donation, you know, sign a petition, help out, because these paranormal locations, you might think that they're all over the place, but the fact is, once something happens to them, it's almost impossible to reverse the effect of what's happened.
Exactly. And one thing I do want to point out, Greg, You mentioned sign the petition. We put that change.org petition on the website back at the very beginning because we thought, you know, if we can't get donations, at least we can get people to sign a petition. And so a lot of folks were doing that. And on when you sign a change.org petition, there's an option for you to make a donation. It doesn't tell you on there that that donation just goes to change.org.
Mm-hmm.
So if you donate through the petition, you're not helping us at all.
Yeah,
that money is going to change.org.
But we do have a GoFundMe on there. If you want to make a donation, please go to the GoFundMe. That was started by Tina and Charlie's daughter. Mm-hmm. And she's directly handling that one.
Yes.
And, yeah.
One other thing, you know, the paranormal community, I know a lot of the people that are listening right now are listening because this is a paranormal-based show, whether you're in Minnesota, Arizona, or Louisville, Kentucky, wherever. The paranormal community is a pretty tight family. We always take care of our own.
Mm-hmm.
If we hear of someone that's having issues, you know, medical issues or financial struggles, we band together, and if we can, we help mm-hmm. as a community. Well, Waverly Hills itself is part of that family, part of that community, the building itself. And I'm not saying that the building is not going to be there in the future unless Tina and Charlie win, but I'm certainly not saying that it will, because the people that are in charge up there have shown that money is their motivator. And if they get that building signed over to them and a developer came to them with the right cash offer, I have no confidence whatsoever that they would not jump on that money and that building be gone and a condominium complex or something go up in its place.
Exactly. They have had many offers on the building for that very reason. Of course, it's never been anything that Charlie or Tina was interested in, but the folks up there now, they had this idea that they were going to have this nice big nest egg of money rolling in. And since we started our campaign, people are paying attention and they're not getting the people coming that they were getting. They actually did away with the haunted house this year, which was one of their biggest fundraisers. They got rid of the haunted house thinking that they were going to run tours year round and have a lot of folks in and make up for it. Well, we happen to know last night they had four people and the night before they only had one. We've caught wind through the grapevine that money is starting to disappear up there and they're starting to fight amongst themselves. So we have every reason to believe that if somebody comes along with a nice big price tag and they happen to get the building signed over to them, that they have no reason to keep the building.
It's almost a catch-22, though, isn't it, in the sense that doing such a good job of getting the word out of what's going on that it does suffocate the location – That puts them in a kind of a dangerous position of doing stuff that we don't want them to do.
Well, yeah, it sort of does, but until they win a lawsuit, they can't.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that's why we are here to make sure that they don't win this lawsuit. Because Tina and Charlie are the owners of the property. It is in Charlie's name, CEM Properties. That is Charles Mattingly. And these people are trying to act like they own it. They've even gone so far as to alter the building. They've put offices in one of the areas that was most active. Actually, one of my favorite rooms to investigate, if any of you have ever had my tour of Waverly, I always pointed out that the cafeteria and the children, particularly mm-hmm. the children's area of the cafeteria, was my favorite part of their building to investigate. And they've got offices in there now. You can't investigate there. And they did that without Charlie's permission. I lease a house.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't knock down walls or put up walls in this house without the owner, without my landlord's permission. But the Waverly Hills Historical Society thinks they have that power at Waverly.
And one of the things, and correct me if I'm wrong, one of the things it seems like too is that they don't. It seems like that the idea of the truth of Waverly Hills, you know, like there's no interest in correcting the misinformation that had been going out for, you know, years and years. Am I right on with that?
These people, none of the people on the board are part of the paranormal community.
Okay.
That's part of why they brought me back last year, because they knew I had a lot of contacts in the field. Denise, most of the contacts I have in the field come from my time at Waverly, but Denise has been a paranormal investigator and worked with many teams over the years. She had more contacts than I did, believe it or not. And they wanted us up there because we had contacts with the paranormal community, because they are out of touch with the paranormal community. They're not a part of it. I'm not even convinced that they believe in the paranormal, to be honest.
Sure.
And
well, they've actually made quite a few comments indicating that they did. They actually at one point made it sound like the paranormal community was just a bunch of dumb idiots that came in and gave them money.
As long as they're going to keep bringing us money, we'll keep going
exactly.
along with it.
We've heard that comment.
And they – I forget where I was going with it. They're haunted house people. They like the spook effect.
Yeah.
They want everything to be scary or dramatic. As a paranormal investigator, you know, Greg, and we know, and anyone out there that's a paranormal investigator knows, that's not why we're there. We're not there to be scared.
No.
We're there to communicate with people. And that's what you have at Waverly. Those are people.
Yep.
A lot of them went through really bad times. A lot of them died there. But there's also a lot of them up there that was their best life, and that's why they're still there.
They were taken care of, and they were taken care of.
Exactly.
Yes. And the people that are running the place don't get that part of it, because that's not scary.
Let me just say quickly, Phyllis has put in a comment. If you can donate, please do. Waverly Hills used to be such a great place to visit. Not anymore. Tina and Charlie love Waverly and always took such great care of it. Let me just say, why don't we take our last break? When we come back, we're going to finish our conversation with paranormal investigators Denise and Ernie Pack talking about SaveWaverlyHills.com. You're listening to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950. Hey And I will be taking next week off because of my appearance at Council Room, but I will be back on January 30th. I'll be talking Ouija boards with Karen A. Dahlman. Can you use them? Should you use them? What parameters do you put in place? I'll also be sharing an experience I had with an Ouija board with a very strange recording I got from it, too. I'm really looking forward to that conversation. For our final segment, we return to our guests today, Denise and Ernie Pack of Pac-Man Paranormal, as we talk about saving Waverly Hills. You can sign a petition or donate, and I really hope that you this resonates with a lot of you. Go to SaveWaverlyHills.com, and there you can see all the stuff, including the merchandise, which is really cool. Which I guess I didn't realize. I need to do it again. I did donate. I donated $50 about a month ago or something. But I need to go back because I want a shirt and I haven't got the shirt. I should have done that at Parunity, but I need to get the shirt. So I'm gonna do that.
All right.
Well, don't sound so excited, Ernie. My God.
I wasn't sure I was going to be talking over you or not, but no, I hope you do. I was trying to sell you a shirt out there in Vegas, but you were a busy man.
I bought a glass of water out there and I'm still in debt over it. So, you know, that's
right.
That's the problem. So,
yeah.
Going to and folks, I love that you're leaving comments, so please continue doing so. Going to the AM950 Facebook page, Don says if they get the funds to fight, they should sue them, meaning the folks that Charlie and Tina are in legal action with, should sue them for changing the building without the owner's permission. Is that a possibility?
Oh, Greg, there's going to be all kinds of things that go down once this is over.
Yeah. Yeah, Charlie has been, you know, they put Charlie and Tina on the defensive back a year ago, and they've been on their heels because they lack the funding to fight and go on the offensive. But once this bogus lawsuit is dismissed by a judge, they are going on the offensive.
And by the way, 156 counts has been narrowed down to about three pages.
A couple of dozen.
Yeah.
Because they've had no evidence to support any of their claims. None.
Now, go ahead.
Save Waverly Hills is a title of a website and a Facebook page and all that. But it's something that is very real. Charlie Mattingly's father went to work at Waverly Hills at the age of 17. He lied about his age and got a job up there because the family farm had been destroyed in the 1937 flood. Charlie's dad wound up catching tuberculosis while he was an employee at Waverly. A lot of them did. And the place saved his life. Charlie said he could remember growing up, every now and then he'd see his dad with his shirt off and he had a big hole in his chest from surgery that he had had at Waverly. Never really talked about it or anything. Well, the building sat empty, like I said, from 1981 until 2001. Charlie saw an ad in the paper that had a wrecking ball next to Waverly Hills, and it said basically save Waverly Hills from the wrecking ball. Charlie looked into it and realized that the price was over $1 million. There was no way he could afford it. But he contacted the seller, negotiated, wound up getting the building for – it's a matter of public record. It was basically the back taxes owed on the building is what he wound up negotiating a deal for. Plus a little bit of money to boot. And he took his dad up there. And his dad saw the building. And the windows were all busted. Walls were falling down. Vines were growing everywhere. There were trees growing out of some of the buildings up there where the roofs had collapsed. And his dad teared up. He said, you know, somebody really needs to save this place. This place meant so much to so many people. It saved so many people's lives. Somebody needs to save it. And Charlie said, I will. And he spent the next 20 years working his butt off from sun up till sundown. And many times in the overnight, he'd have to come in to run off a trespasser or correct a leaking water line or whatever, an electrical outage. And Tina's been right there. If you ever visit Waverly Hills, if you visited Waverly Hills over the last 20 years, she's been there with a smile on her face, greeting the guests and giving it that personal touch that you don't get up there right now with the people that are there. Charlie made it his mission 20 years ago to save Waverly Hills. And since we found out what's going on, we've made it our mission to join in Charlie's army to help him save Waverly Hills.
Exactly.
And we would definitely appreciate anybody that wants to be a foot soldier in this army, helping out by donating,
spreading the word,
just any way you can possibly help. We need your help because this place means so much to so many people.
And we want to stress too, because we've had a lot of people that think they understand that say, well, we'll book a tour then so that we can some money to the building. The tours that you are booking, the money is going directly into the pockets of the enemy. Charlie and Tina get nothing from anything that is spent in the building right now.
Exactly. Exactly. Going to some comments. Janice says, I've enjoyed tuning in this evening. Thank you for helping to get the word out to help save Waverly Hills. Waverly is the most favorite place for me, my sister and brother-in-law, and we stand behind Charlie and Tina 100%. So the question is here. Obviously, we want people to go to Save Waverly Hills, sign the petition, but also go and donate to the GoFundMe that helps the legal fees that Charlie and Tina are facing right now. But also, what is it that they can do beyond that to get the word out? It's like everyone who's listening, whether you're listening to the radio or if you're on the Facebook feed, can you put on your own Facebook page, go to SaveWaverlyHills.com and
yes.
help?
Yes,
absolutely.
And I'll tell you this. You know, this is just a little thing that I like to do for fun. Go to some of the Waverly Hills pages and tell the truth on the Waverly Hills pages. You'll get blocked and you won't be around for long, but that message will be there at least for the time being, and they'll see that they're not supported.
Right.
And it just sends a message. But I do want to point out, I've noticed that Tina has been listening.
Yes.
She's here in the chat, and she's very much appreciative of the work that all of us are doing. And I want her to know, and Charlie to know, that this is a fight to the death, that we're in it with them until it's all over. And but Tina appreciates everyone that's donated, contributed, helped spread the word, anything. And we all do. And we just want that to continue. There's going to be a time for media attention and other things, but for now, we're just trying to get the word out through the paranormal community for the most part, and we'll go from there. But we're on the right side of history on this one.
So once again, Denise and Ernie Pack are noted paranormal investigators from the team Pac-Man Paranormal to help out the fight to keep Waverly Hills Sanatorium in the right hands with Charlie and Tina. Please visit Waverly Hills, SaveWaverlyHills.com. Please make sure that you share that URL, SaveWaverlyHills.com. Please donate to the GoFundMe page. Please sign the petition. If you don't understand still, go to the page. It will help you out. Denise and Ernie Pack, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you,
Greg. We appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you very much. I will be back on January 30th. Everyone, have a safe week, and we'll talk soon.